Welcome back to the program. Matt Rocchio had to bail, still feeling a little under the weather, and I don't want to get sick, so I like, go home, dude. Don't get me sick and inside not enjoying the weather this weekend, man. Go home. Take care of yourself. So he'll be back on Monday. Joining us, though, right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line is Brett Okamoto. He is the MMA writer for ESPN.com. You can follow him on Twitter at BOkamoto. Brett, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I can't complain. So my first question, I guess, is that these four press conferences between Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor, why were they one right after the other after the other? Why didn't they kind of spread them out for like one a week?
Well, I mean, to ask guys to interrupt their training camp once a week for 4 weeks straight, you just can't do that. You know, I mean, we all love the pomp and circumstance. We love the circus, but we also want to give these guys time to, and you even heard Conor McGregor say this, when the press conference was over today, he's like, now it's closed doors, now it's get back into the sparring, and now it's time to focus on the fight. So, I mean, in the perfect world, yeah, you wouldn't have loaded them all up back-to-back-to-back-to-back, but you want to give these guys a chance to prepare for the fight, obviously.
Because it kind of seemed like by the time the third and fourth one rolled around, they were out of material.
Yeah, it did. And I think that, you know, the number of press conferences are probably too much. I mean,
that too.
I think two would have probably been sufficient. That's kind of what I envisioned when the fight was first announced. I figured, oh, they'll do, you know, a press conference and on the West Coast and the East Coast. Maybe they'll do one internationally. It's just, I think two is the perfect number because you get one to sort of break the ice, get them together for the first time, you know, and that's going to be special just seeing them in the same building. And then the second one, and we saw this happen, that it's, the second one was the best one, just because then they were a little bit familiar with one another, they played off of one another. Once you hit that peak, then you're just trying to top it somehow, and you're forced to try to get creative to top it, and that's what happened. The third one was terrible, and the fourth one was just okay. I thought it all peaked in Toronto on the second day.
Yeah, and then when you're, you know, you have these two guys who are pretty good on the microphone trying to top one another, that's when, you know, boundaries start getting pushed. Sometimes someone's going to say something they're going to regret the next day. Kind of had that happen today with Floyd Mayweather using the homophobic slur. You had Conor McGregor, the first press conference, calling Floyd Mayweather boy, even though I know that's kind of slang for Irish, but still doesn't exactly go well in America when you see a white guy calling someone who's African-American boy. It doesn't exactly go over well. So maybe it's a good thing there were only four and we only heard maybe two slurs.
I guess that could be described as a good thing. I mean, you know, the Conor stuff is I think it's unfortunate just because I really don't think he's meaning it in a racist way. This is just my personal opinion.
I don't think he did either. I'm with you.
I really just don't think it. But there are optics that go along with this. And, you know, Dana White said, you know, today that, hey, this is a cage fight. You know, I mean, this is a boxing match. This is a fight. You know, these two guys are nasty. They're trying to knock each other out. They're going to say some things that are not politically correct in there. And I understand that to a certain degree, but it also just seems like this should be avoidable. You know, I mean, both guys are smart guys. They're both good promoters. Just find a different word choice, you know, and we can avoid these types of things.
How good of a job do you think they did promoting the fight? Have you heard from anybody saying, yeah, you know what, I really wasn't interested in this fight at all, but now that I've seen the press conferences and I've seen these two kind of jaw at each other, now I'm ready to watch the fight. Have you heard anybody say that?
No, not really super directly, you know, where someone, you know, reaching out to me and saying that. But I do think I look at this set of press conferences as a success. If you watch them one after the other, you can pick out a lot of different stuff, as you and I are doing right now. There were some swings and misses in these press conferences, no doubt about it. But for the most part, people aren't doing that. They're not sitting around and watching every single one of these press conferences start to finish. They're catching the highlights. That's really what these conferences are for. They're to create their photo ops. And, you know, they're little 10-second clips that are being shown on SportsCenter tonight or, you know, social media and whatnot. And there are plenty of 10-second clips from these sets of press conferences. So I think overall, probably everyone's feeling pretty good about the job that they did.
And I'll tell you what, Barstool Sports, they're already starting to capitalize on it. They're selling 49-1 t-shirts with the Irish flag, and then instead of like a dash, it's a shamrock. So the guys at Barstool Sports, they're ready to cash in on some of this Irish pride and thinking that McGregor's got a shot in winning this fight, which I don't think he does.
Yeah, smart entrepreneurs over there.
Absolutely they are.
Anytime that there's an event of this magnitude, you're going to have smart people figuring out ways to monetize it, and that's definitely one of them.
Because I've had a lot of people come up to me and go, you know what, I think McGregor's got a shot, and I just stare at him like, you've got to be out of your mind. I'm like, what makes you think that Conor McGregor, you know, has a shot in this fight? I love Conor McGregor. I think he's a hell of a fighter. But he's going up against, you know, the best boxer alive, and he's not really known as being a boxer. It's kind of like thinking that, you know, Tom Brady, he's throwing a football, so we're going to put him out there in a Major League Baseball game and expecting him to throw a perfect game. It's just not going to happen.
A lot of people just don't understand boxing incredibly well. They don't understand mixed martial arts incredibly well, and that's fine. You know, I mean, that is what it is. They're kind of complicated sports to understand, quite frankly.
Yeah.
A lot of people are just looking at them as throwing punches, and they don't understand that there's a whole lot more to it. There's a whole lot that goes into throwing a perfect punch with power, with accuracy. You know, it they call it a sweet science for a reason, and I'm with you. I don't think Conor really has a shot, but, you know, all you need is some people to believe he does, and you've got something to sell to people.
Brett Okamoto from ESPN.com joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at B Okamoto. Brett, last Friday we had Chris Van Heerden on. He's the former WBO welterweight champion, and he a year ago sparred with Conor McGregor in a boxing ring, and this is what he had to say about Conor McGregor's punching power.
He did tag me a few times, nothing serious, no power on it. But what I could do with him was just so easy. You know, I landed the jab. I could hit him when I wanted to hit him. It was, it was easy for me. And with all due respect, I love Conor. I'm a Conor McGregor fan when it comes to the UFC. Does Conor have some sort of boxing skill? Yes, he does. He does. Do I give him any opportunity, any chance against Floyd Mayweather? No, he's not an A-grade level fighter. He's not an elite fighter. He's not a B-grade level fighter.
What do you make of that?
Not shocking, you know, and I'll say this, I believe that Conor has, amazing natural raw power. You know, I've heard many, many people tell me that, and I've had coaches and trainers tell me that power is something that you try to teach, but you can't really completely teach it. You know, it's just sort of a natural thing. Some guys show up in the gym and they can punch with a lot of power, and other guys just can't, you know, but that's just natural raw power. You know, that still means that Conor has to land the punch. He has to land the right punch. He has to land it at the right time and the right placement to knock out somebody like Floyd Mayweather. Just because he has a lot of power, you know, just sort of that raw natural power that can knock a horse out, it doesn't mean you still got to have the skill for that power to translate into in a boxing sense.
UFC 214 will be coming up in a couple of weeks. It will be July 29th, live from the Hana Center in Anaheim, California. And the headline, of course, is Daniel Cormier versus John Jones. Let's hope that fight happens. A lot can still happen between now and then, especially with John Jones. But I think the fight that people are most interested in around St. Louis is, of course, St. Louis's own Tyron Woodley versus Demian Mia. What can you tell us about that fight?
It's not very often that you see these days in mixed martial arts a guy have a lot of success with just basically one discipline, and that describes Demian Mia. You know, he's sort of a throwback guy, and that's not to say that he doesn't train all aspects of mixed martial arts, but he really is one discipline, and that is Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. He gets guys down and he does not let them up. His striking is quite frankly pretty awkward and not effective. It's all about getting guys to the ground. That would seem to bode well for Tyron Woodley. He's a former collegiate wrestler, as you guys in St. Louis know. So I think the matchup favors him, but Demian Mia is just so, so good at what he does. He only needs a split second. You know, we talk about a puncher's chance. Demian Mia has a grappler's chance, and that means all he's got to do is really get his arms on you, and it's quicksand. You know, then he's on your back. He's got his arms around your neck, and you're done. It's a rear naked choke, so... Woodley, I think, is that it's his fight to lose, but you know, he will have his hands full in it.
Why do you think Tyron Woodley gets, like, Tyron Woodley doesn't seem that he gets, like, a bigger push from the UFC. If he was 5 years younger, if he was 30 instead of 35, you think that might have something to do with it?
I don't know if it's the age necessarily. I think part of that is he needs the right opponent, and Woodley knows that. You know, that's why Woodley's asking for guys like George St. Pierre. He wanted to fight Nick Diaz. He even threw out that he would like to fight Michael Bisping. You know, Stephen Thompson, as good as Stephen Thompson is and as fun as that rivalry was between those two, that was not really a guy that was going to elevate Tyron Woodley to the next level. So I think it's a little bit of, you know, could the UFC get behind him a little bit more? Sure, but I think they would do so with the right opponent, and he just hasn't gotten the right opponent yet.
I know that you and your colleague at ESPN.com, Dan Raphael, have scored the press conferences. So how'd you score? Did Conor McGregor a clear victor?
Yeah, I think, you know, to keep it short, just looking back on the conferences as a whole, you know, it was Conor McGregor had the better one-liners. He had the more viral moments. He had the more discussable moments. And you know, Floyd, he really just kind of fell into, I'm going to do the same thing every day,
yeah,
type of shtick, and it was not effective. So I think more people are talking about Conor McGregor after this tour than are talking about Floyd Mayweather. So you have to say he did the better job.
What do you think is next for Conor McGregor once he's done boxing or done with mixed martial arts? Can you see him maybe making a leap to like feature film, because he has a presence? I mean, he's good on a microphone. I know how good he can act, but I mean, he could be just as good as some of these other people who are out there making action movies, or maybe he makes a jump to the WWE. What do you think is next for Conor McGregor after fighting?
It's hard to say. You know, I mean, I think he's going to continue to pursue fighting as long as it's making sense to him. Now, if you can lose in mixed martial arts. No one stays perfect in mixed martial arts. Boxing, you know, upsets are a little less likely because of the bigger gloves, the fact that it's just one discipline. You know, in MMA, Conor lost last year to Nate Diaz,
yeah.
You know, and so we'll see what happens with his career and where that takes him, you know, what UFC fights he returns to. I think he's a guy who can pretty much be successful in whatever he does. I mean, you saw him mention a custom suit clothing line over the press tour.
That's true.
This guy's really, really into fashion. He's really smart in terms of, I think he's creating his own media company, essentially. He's got the MacLife.com. That's a project of his he's focused on. So this guy has a lot of different options. I don't really think we'll ever see him become, you know, like a Gina Carano where we think of him as, you know, a former fighter, now actor. But who knows? You know, he's probably capable of doing that.
Brett, we appreciate your time as always, sir. Enjoy your weekend.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Brett. That is Brett Okamoto from ESPN.com. You can follow him on Twitter at B. Okamoto. But I've had so many people come up to me and say, you know, I think Conor McGregor's got a shot. I'm like, you are out of your minds. Out of your minds. Me and some guy on the We Are Live fan page were kind of not really joined, but going back and forth about it. I'm like, look, dude, come on. You're talking yourself into this fight.
Even every analyst we've had on has said he has no shot. He could land a lucky punch, maybe.
That's the only thing he's got going for him, is that if he can land a lucky punch. Floyd's not sloppy. That's one thing you could say many things about Floyd Mayweather as a boxer. He is not sloppy.
Exactly. It's not like he's going up against some run-of-the-mill fighter. He's going up against the best.
Yes.
It's not just some guy who maybe he could get a lucky punch in there, like maybe train for a couple more months and he could be in there, but this is Floyd Mayweather. He's the best boxer of my entire lifetime.
I forgot what fight it was. It was right around the time of the Super Bowl, and Floyd was cruising. I mean, just cruising. And he heard Jim Lampley and Larry Merchant talking about the Super Bowl, and they're kind of like, hey, Floyd, who do you like in the Super Bowl? And this is exactly what Floyd Mayweather did. He landed a 1-2 combination and goes, I like the Patriots, and then went right back to landing combination. I mean, it's like, that's how good Floyd Mayweather is.
He's so good. He's not a KO boxer, though, right?
No, he's not.
Never KO'd anyone?
He has, but I mean he hasn't KO'd anybody. Sure, yeah, he hasn't KO'd anybody in a very long time. I think how the fight's going to go, I think Floyd Mayweather's going to win by technical knockout. I think it's going to be one of those things where Conor McGregor's going to be exhausted, and Floyd is just tagging him and tagging him and tagging him, and the referee's going to come in and stop the fight. He's like, look, McGregor's not defending himself anymore. I'm not going to let this guy lose an eye. The fight's over.
Oh, yeah. And Floyd's used to fighting. How many rounds did they fight?
10 or 12.
Yeah. And kind of, but I guess it's different in MMA. You're using your whole entire body as opposed to, I mean, there's
you use your entire whole body yeah. in boxing, too. Boxing's a lot of legs. Once your legs are gone, you're, I mean, you have nothing behind your punches. You're done as a boxer. Yeah, I mean, is MMA more physically exhausting than boxing?
Probably so, yeah.
Maybe, because, you know, you've got the guard defending and stuff like that, but just go shadow box.
Yeah.
You know, just shadow box for like 2 or 3 minutes, you're going to be exhausted. Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, Giamatti are going to have a discussion on who is the world's greatest drummer. You know what? You're listening to the world's greatest drummer in this song right here. That 590 Show on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM at InsideSDL.com.